The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Welcome to the Todd Starnes Show, sponsored by Legacy Precious Metals. There's never been a better time to invest in precious metals. Visit LegacyPMInvestments.com. That's LegacyPMInvestments.com.
Live from the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Wow. This story, folks, I really do believe this is the most important story we need to be talking about today. Now, I know that we could all be blown to smithereens in World War III, but, and we're going to get to that in just a little while. But I want to start out the program by talking about this latest story coming out of San Francisco. Now, people say that San Francisco, which, by the way, was a beautiful town, beautiful city, until the leftist took charge, and now they have poop patrols because people are literally defecating in the streets. Children can no longer go to the playgrounds because there are dirty used needles around the merry-go-round. It's a horrible place, but it used to be a nice place. So now San Francisco has enthusiastically endorsed a reparations plan. Now you say, Todd, this is the land of fruits and nuts. Why are we talking about San Francisco? Well, the reason why we're talking about San Francisco, ladies and gentlemen, is because what's happening in San Francisco is already happening in other places around the nation. As a matter of fact, in Virginia right now, Richmond, Virginia, all you people listening to us on WRVA, our great affiliate there, you know that there are actually armed men in the streets right now advocating for reparations or having big protests today. In Memphis, Tennessee, the home of KWAM, our flagship radio station, of which I happen to be the owner, very proud owner of this radio station. In Memphis, Tennessee, they are spending $5 million of COVID cash to actually study a reparations plan. So I want to share with you what San Francisco is about to do. This is not in conjunction with what California as a state is going to do. So some of you may, in fact, be able to double dip if you are of the non-Caucasian persuasion in San Francisco, in the state of California, the Golden State. So we're talking about millions and millions of dollars that they're going to be giving every black citizen. Now, here's the reporting from NBC News. They're going to be paying, this is the plan, to pay every black adult $5 million cash. Now, that's a pretty good deal. It's enough of a deal where I, Todd Starnes, your friendly neighborhood host, who is pretty fly for a white guy, a man of the Caucasian persuasion, where I, Todd Starnes, would be willing, yes, I'm going to admit this, I would be willing to change my name to LeBron and go directly to the nearest tanning salon. Make me as bronze as possible because I will self-identify for $5 million cash. And I suspect you will too once you hear the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey used to say. So according to NBC News, every black adult in San Francisco is going to get $5 million. Then they're going to eliminate all of the personal debt. So let's just say that, you know, you've got $25,000 debt on your Discovery card. They're going to wipe that out. So you're not going to have to pay that if you're a black citizen in San Francisco. They're also going to take away all of your tax obligations. On top of that, so after making every black in San Francisco a multimillionaire, they're going to guarantee an annual income of at least $97,000. That's a lot of money, $97,000. But look, you've already got $5 million in the bank, so this is just spending money. But this is where it gets interesting. They're going to be giving you that annual income for at least 250 years. So I'm assuming here that the San Francisco Board of Supervisors, they believe that it's that you, black person in America, are going to be oppressed for at least the next 250 years. And I know that's hard for a lot of you to understand, especially folks like Oprah, who's worth $1 billion, but the poor woman is oppressed. And our friend Memphis Grizzlies star John Morant, who's making tens of millions of dollars as a 23-year-old, this young man is incredibly oppressed. He's not able to get a leg up in American society. I suspect we're going to have the same issue with poor people like Denzel Washington and Chris Rock. These poor people are not able to get a leg up in this horrible, heinous, racist nation we call America. But it doesn't stop there. They're also going to give every black family a home. Well, let me back up. That's not exactly true. It's going to cost you. If you are a black person in San Francisco, under the plan, you would be allowed to purchase a home for $1, as in 60 cents. So let's go through this. The reparations, let's say that you're a 21-year-old black man living in San Francisco right now, and this is finally approved. And it has unanimous support by the San Francisco Board of Supervisors. Every black man who is 21 years of age or older would receive $5 million cash settlement. They'd wipe out your credit card debt. They'd wipe away your tax obligations. You'd get at least $97,000 a year in salary for not working, just for having black skin. And you're going to be able to buy a home for a buck. Now, I want a show of hands here, and who among you listening right now would be willing to go with me to the tanning salon so you could self-identify? This is unbelievable. Now, many of you might be thinking, Todd, this is parody. This is satire. Oh, we know you, Starnes. You love to josh with your audience. You love to kid. Oh, you're a big kidder, Starnes. No, I'm not kidding. Oh, this is just satire. This is parody. Come on, Starnes. No, it's not parody, ladies and gentlemen. There is no punchline here. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of audio from folks talking about reparations. And this, again, is not just in San Francisco. This is across the entire state of California. And by the way, California is looking at giving hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars more to black citizens on top of what they've already come up with, and there were never any slaves in California. California was a free state. So a lot of people are fired up over this. Now, one gentleman, and I appreciate the honesty here. I really do. You may not agree with what these people say, but at least you can appreciate their honesty. One guy got up and said, hey, look, we've got to have reparations, and then we're going to stop stealing your cars. We're going to stop carjacking you. We're going to stop robbing you. Let's take a listen.
Capital, money, reparations. That will stimulate this economy for the 2.6 million blacks in California. There's only one thing that would stop our children from busting into these liquor stores. There's only one thing that would stop our kids from busting into these jewelry stores, stealing watches and jewelry. And that's reparations.
It's reparations. Reparations, that's what they want. So the thinking here, the thought process is, you give us your money and we'll stop stealing from you. That's what this man is saying here. Laura Ingraham last night on Fox News Channel weighing in on this. Let's take a listen.
But fans of reparations want to suck you into the debate in order to stereotype all of you as unfeeling, uncaring jerks.
I have been struck by the overheated and irrational response to this draft report. Those of my constituents who lost their minds about this proposal, it's not something we're doing or we would do for other people. It's something we would do for our future, for our everybody's collective future and the generations to come.
Wow. It would benefit our collective futures? How could anyone be against that? Now, reaching into your wallet to apologize for slavery is the least you people could do. Well, and of course, money talks. Justin Hansford, a law professor at Howard University, put it this way. If you're going to try to say you're sorry, well, you have to speak in the language that people understand. And money is that language. Recall that this debate began on college campuses decades ago. And then the idea really gained traction in recent years, especially after the death of George Floyd. And now, even African-Americans who've enjoyed huge success in America, they think they deserve cash.
Individual white people are saying, I didn't do it, and my ancestors didn't even do it, and you are not your ancestors.
I'm a descendant of those ancestors.
I know, but... Okay.
Hey, listen, when a debt is old, a debt is old, period.
But you've got a lot of money, so you say you should get more.
Yes, I'm 97% a West African, born in Charleston, South Carolina, so I should definitely get a check.
And it's about much more, though, than assigning collective guilt and assigning penalties on people who never enslaved anyone. Reparations are also needed, we're told, to stop the crime wave.
There's only one thing that would stop our children from busting into these liquor stores and grocery stores, stealing junk food and stealing different things, and that's reparations. There's only one thing that would stop our kids from busting into these jewelry stores, stealing watches and jewelry, and that's reparations.
Now, at this point, California Democrats, let's face it, they're desperate. The state is collapsing in crime. There's a huge exodus out of the state. Of course, we've all seen the homelessness, the drug abuse, and the despair. If you're a minority with a chance of opening, let's say, a small business in Dallas or in San Francisco, why on earth would you choose San Francisco? Now, the Lunatrons on the Board of Supervisors may not be able to revitalize the economy there, but they will try to entice you with a grab bag of goodies. And whatever you do, do not get bogged down on the cost of reparations.
So a lot of people are stuck on numbers. If you want to look at numbers, look at the birth rate of African Americans. Look at the incarceration rate of African Americans. Look at the dropout rate of African Americans. Look at the graduation rate of African Americans.
All right, there you go. So what happens next? Well, San Francisco is going to meet again and discuss the proposal in September. Could go to a vote of the citizens. They have a San Francisco African American Reparations Advisory Committee, and they are waiting to, they're going to be issuing a final report over the summer. But understand this. Only black people are eligible for the reparations package. If you're Hispanic, if you're Asian American, you're not eligible. White folks, well, of course not. You've got to pay for it. What about Native Americans? And by the way, I received a long email from a lady, and she said if anybody deserves reparations in America, it would be the Native Americans. It would be the Indians, the indigenous population. They were driven off their land. So they're saying if anybody is owed anything, it would be the Native Americans. But I want to read this from Terry, one of our great listeners in Memphis on KWAM. Terry says, I want to know if California is going to pay reparations on the state level. Does that mean that San Francisco's black citizens will get $10 million each and double the other goodies offered on the package? That's a great question. For this to be fiscally possible, I suppose they will tax all Silicon Valley moguls millions, along with all the rich Hollywood movie folks, actors, directors, senior studio executives, millions as well. The reality is there isn't enough money to cover this absurd idea anywhere in the state, so I don't think it'll ever really happen. They may virtue signal by passing some legislation, but never have the wherewithal to find it. But I want to go back to something Laura Ingraham said. This has been decades in the making. This is not something that just that poof appeared overnight. This is something that has been talked about and debated on university and college campuses for a number of years. So understand, this is the poisonous fruit of critical race theory, this idea of reparations. Non-blacks are the oppressors. Blacks are the oppressed. for eternity, or at least the next 250 years. So what's happening? We're watching before our very eyes another class of people being created in the social fabric of the nation, the professional victim class. And I can tell you that every black person that I've spoken to about this strongly rejects this. They say this is insulting, it is offensive, and quite frankly, racist. But I'm curious to know about you, ladies and gentlemen. How do you feel about this reparations package in San Francisco? What about the one in Virginia, the one they're looking at creating in Memphis, Tennessee, other major cities around the nation? Do black Americans deserve reparations? Does anybody deserve reparations in this country? 844-747-8868. That is our telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. It is a toll-free telephone number. By the way, we've got a story up on our website if you want to see more details about the reparations plan. This is the Todd Stern Show. The Biden administration has caused a financial crisis, and they don't have a clue how to fix it, folks. Our economy is in trouble, and you need to take steps to protect yourself. Now, if all your money is tied up in stocks, bonds, and traditional markets, you're vulnerable. Gold is one of the best ways to protect your retirement. No matter what happens, you own your gold. It's real, it's physical, and it's always been valuable since the dawn of time. Legacy Precious Metals is the company I trust for investing in gold. They can help you roll your retirement account into a gold-backed IRA where you still own the physical gold. They can also ship gold and precious metals safely and securely to your house. Did you know $1 million worth of gold can fit in a shoebox? Call Legacy at 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. That's 866-649-0304 or visit them online at legacypminvestments.com. All right, you're looking good out there today, America. Hope you're doing great wherever you are. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Program. Man, we are so happy that you're hanging out with us, noon to 3 Eastern. Let's go to the phones. A lot of folks want to weigh in on this. And it's a fair question whether or not we should be paying reparations to anybody in this country. 844-747-8868 is our telephone number. Let's start with Patricia in North Carolina. Hi, Patricia. What say you?
Thank you for taking my call. I say absolutely no. I think your point that Native Americans, if anyone, but what about all the Germans and Irish, my ancestors who came to this country and were slaves? They outnumbered the black slaves. So if you're going to start reparations, I think it's ridiculous. What we can give everybody, which affirmative action did, was opportunity. What happens when they run out of this money we give them? Do we have to give them more reparations? It's never ending, and it's going to hit all the taxpayers, all of us that are hardworking, the ones who have worked 3 jobs to get themselves through college, and after working a lifetime still don't have, you know, over $1 million.
Patricia, so just think about this, and in a weird sort of warped way, this is almost a reverse form, a weird form of slavery, where you would have a large segment of the population being forced to go back to work just to pay for all of this.
Correct. And it's not just going to be California. They're going to take it from federal handouts.
Oh, absolutely. And by the way, this is not stopping in California. Again, Richmond, Virginia, they're having these conversations. Memphis, Tennessee, this is going to spread. And that's why we've got to nip this in the bud right now.
Absolutely. And there's no incentive for them to work. Why should a black person work?
Well, yeah, I mean, if you're getting $97,000 a year, I don't care what color you are, you're going to stay home. You're going to enjoy that $97,000 a year. I know I would.
And unfortunately, we learned that through COVID and the lockdown.
Yes, we did, Patricia. And that there are so many people in this country of all sorts of skin colors who are willing to sit on their butts and get a check from the government and be content. So, Patricia, we got to leave it there. We got to run. Folks, we're going right to the phones for the next segment. So we've got a couple of lines open, 844-747-8868. Does anybody in this country really deserve reparations? That's 844-747-8868. We have Victor in Maryland, Jerry in Milwaukee, Aiden in North Carolina. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Just when you thought it could not get any better, Mike Lindell with MyPillow is launching the MyPillow 2.0. When Mike invented MyPillow, it had everything you could ever want in a pillow. Now, nearly 20 years later, he discovered a new technology that makes it even better. The MyPillow 2.0 has the patented adjustable fill of the original MyPillow, and now with a brand new fabric that's made with a temperature-regulating thread. The MyPillow 2.0 is the softest, smoothest, and coolest pillow you'll ever own. And for my listeners, an exclusive. The MyPillow 2.0 is buy one, get one free with the promo code STARNS. MyPillow 2.0 temperature regulating technology is 100% made in the USA and comes with a 10-year warranty and a 60-day money-back guarantee. Just go to MyPillow.com/Starnes. That's MyPillow.com/Starnes for the buy one, get one free offer and enter the promo code STARNES. All right, Rosemary writing on the Facebook Live page. Todd, my ancestors were Irish, came over in the 1830s. Most were treated like garbage back then. Where's my money? That's a great question, Rosemary. By the way, our good buddy Paul Shanklin sent us a note here. Todd, in regards to reparations, fixing unfair things in history, how far can you go back? Can you go back on an individual basis? I mean, if great-grandpa's mule was killed by the neighbor's kids, can I collect plus interest? Paul, great question. Terrific question. Let's go to the phones. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in. Let's go to Henry in Georgia, WDUN, our great station there. Hi, Henry. What say you?
You just made the point, I think, that I was going to comment on. I'm white, but my grandparents were immigrants from Ireland that came to the United States after slavery was over. And I guess lumping all the white people in the same category is racist, I think.
You know, Henry, my great-grandparents on my mom's side were from Germany. They fled Germany. They were refugees after World War One, and my grandfather joined the military to fight in World War II. And because my grandparents were actually Germans that had migrated here, they were placed under what was sort of a de facto house arrest, even though their son was fighting the Germans in World War II, putting his life on the line for the country. I don't think in a million years anybody in our family would have ever imagined to ask for reparations because of that.
Interesting.
And I suspect that's the way a lot of other people feel around this country as well. Do you feel like you are owed a reparation because of the way your grandparents were treated?
No, I think it's preposterous.
All right. I'm with you, Henry. Appreciate that call. Let's go to Jerry the Liberal in Milwaukee. All right, Jerry, what say you?
Okay. I do agree with you in part that the reparations are just, especially in San Francisco, $5 million. Per black person in San Francisco, it's like an insane amount of money. There's not enough money to pay that. So I think this highlights one of the differences between liberals like me, and I'm pretty liberal, versus leftists. These are what these people are. They're a good deal to the left of me. And I'm not against reparations, maybe in principle, but the amount of money, and as you said, California was never a state where there was slavery. It would make more sense to have reparations in parts of the country that had slavery, but California wasn't. I also want to point out one thing. Do the Irish were like mistreated at times, and indentured servitude was sometimes hard. It was not slavery. The Irish were not brought as slaves, like those who are African American. So, I mean, when people compare the two, they're not the same. You know, they're different degrees.
Well, I would contend, Jerry, if you were, it depends on your circumstances, and some people might feel like they were being treated worse than slavery, as these indentured servitudes. I mean, the Irish were treated horribly,
yeah, they chose, in the early days. They chose to form indentured servitude. There was, I'm not saying it was great, but they had a choice. So it wasn't quite the same.
Jerry, I'm glad you and I agree on this, because there is a lot of anger, and it's really interesting, in the Castro district, which is that's the predominantly gay district in San Francisco. There is great outrage, and the city councilman or the supervisor over that area is really upset that his constituents are not more open-minded about this. So I think, to your point, a lot of liberals are going to be raising Cain about this too.
Right. And again, I want to make it out that I cannot support reparations in some principle, but not this. I mean, it's an insane amount of money.
Jerry,
it would have to be very directed specifically.
Jerry, it's been a long time you've been calling onto the show. I think we're making some headway here. I think you're coming over to the right side of thinking, Jerry.
Maybe you're becoming more liberal.
This is, oh, geez, a Lou. All right, Jerry, good talking to you. We'll end it on a good note. Our good friend Jerry the Liberal from Milwaukee. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Johnny on KWAM. Hey, Johnny, what say you?
Hello, Todd. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you for asking.
I'm calling in to weigh in on reparations. I think that it would be easy to distribute the reparations if you found, anyone that was 100 years or older. But yes, I do think black people deserve reparation because we helped build the country. And then, you couldn't even go to a restaurant in the front door and eat, and they had to pass a law. But, I think the Irish and whoever, they are misinterpreting history because they volunteered to come over here, and I don't know too many of them that were slaves. And you have gay reparation, well, we have Americans, I say not you have, but we have Americans has gay reparations to Asians. You gay reparations to the Indians. They getting their reparations one poker hand at a time. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I will say this, and Johnny, I want to bring, well, let me say this, and then I'm going to bring Bill from North Carolina into our conversation here. Okay. Johnny, when you look at the reparations for the Asian Americans, that happened after their internment during World War II. Those reparations were actually given to the people who were incarcerated, much like after the Civil War, 40 acres and a mule. And if let's just go back to the end of the Civil War.
We never got the 40 acres, though, Todd.
But it was the option. It was, you didn't, because you're not 160 years old, 170 years, however long it was.
I know. But
Johnny, hold on.
My ancestors didn't. Okay.
All right, but hold on. But they had the option. It was offered. So at that point, if it's offered and not accepted, that can't be on the government, and that certainly can't be on me, who was born in 1967. Our family never owned slaves. Our family was dirt poor.
I know, but still, though, it was offered. It was offered, like you say, Todd. I would agree that it was offered.
And I don't have a problem with that, Johnny. I don't have, after the Civil War.
And it was never given, though, Todd. It was never, it was offered, but the offer was taken off of the table, Todd. Even if people signed up for their 40 acres and the mule, they couldn't receive it because they didn't give it.
Many people received it, Johnny. They did.
No, they did not.
Yes, they did. Well, history says otherwise. I'm not saying every single black person who was a slave got it, but it was offered. I want to bring Bill into the conversation, WSIC. Okay. Right. So, Bill, Johnny says reparations, it's a good thing. What say you?
Well, no. I mean, the founding fathers, when they stood up the Constitution, made sure that the sins of the fathers were not going to be put on the sons.
The Constitution wasn't written for black people, though. The Constitution was written, like you said, for the forefathers. Because if it was a Constitution was written for black people, it says all men were created equal. And all, men then was not created equal. As you can see, as of now, today, all men are not created equal. There are two separate laws, one for black
I'll say this then. If you want to go back to the founding source, go back to Jamestown. The first slaves that came over because the pirates captured them off of a Dutch slave trader were indentured servants. And then the economy changed in the late 1600s to where they became slaves because that was an economic thing. That was the English. They passed the law. So if you want these reparations, go back to the source and go over there and ask King Charles, hey, where's the reparations for the entire country?
Well, you all are descendants of King Charles. You all come from your land. Come over here because you all was persecuted in your land. You come over here to escape that persecution, but then you turn around and persecuted. You've done the same thing to people that was here.
So you all are descendants of British people. So, you know,
my ancestors came from Ireland, which was persecuted by the British in the 1630s. And go to the Irish famine. You said earlier that they had a choice to come. They didn't have a choice in the 1800s.
Yes, they did. The Irish had a choice.
They had no choice because they were starving. They left Ireland because of the Constitution, the instructions that were given to the Irish by the English that they could
They could have stayed in Ireland. When they stayed, they died.
They could only grow potatoes. They couldn't even sell their cows to themselves. They had to go to the law in England. When blacks were shipped, they died.
When they were shipped in ships, they died.
And who did that, Johnny? But who did that? I want to go back here. Hold on, guys, just a second here. But Johnny, it was African tribes that sold their enemies into slavery. So my question is, should they not be responsible as well?
They sell them demand. It was a demand for black bodies. If you are, that's just like now. Africa have their own resource. They have their own food. They got their own animals. Africa don't even have to import nothing.
So why should they not be off the hook there, Johnny?
But yet it's still the white man go over there, rape their land, and then have them fighting amongst each other. So everywhere you all have went, you all have caused destruction. But yet it's still, you don't want to give reparations. You know, you don't want to do nothing for black people as much as they've done for this land, you know, and that's the main debate.
Bill, I'm going to give you the final word here on this.
Okay.
Well, the precedent is, as you said, with the Japanese internment and with those type things, that you give the reparation to the actual victim. If you can show me a 175-year-old black man from southeastern Virginia where I grew up, I'd be glad to give him reparations.
You don't have to be 175 years old. Slavery was back. You can count 100 years. You don't have to be 100. Yeah. Yeah. You go, just like you said, whenever you have a plan where you move the goalpost. So you don't have to go back 100 years.
No, it's not a goalpost, Johnny. And that's an interesting point that Bill raises. If you introduce me to a slave, they're going to get a reparation.
If you go back, yeah, show me somebody that's 100. I just say go 100 years. If you want to be fair, go 100 years.
If you want to talk about reparations and squalor, I can guarantee you, except for the few bad exceptions, that the white Southern sharecropper fared worse than the slaves. Because the people who had the big plantations were not going to upset their economic status. The white sharecropper got it worse than most slaves.
A lot of people living in Appalachia right now with dirt floors.
They was making money off of the slave. How can you say that they fair? You all are very, you know, don't dodge it.
Come on now, guys.
You telling how much money the white sharecropper got? This is the debate we have to have here.
This is the debate we got to have, and I'd rather have it on this radio program. And Johnny, I appreciate you. Very few conservative talk radio shows. We're going to put people who disagree with each other on the air, but that's what we do here because we've got to have this conversation. Johnny, I would let you say that, but we're late for a break and they're going to yell at me. So you give us a call back. Johnny, thank you for listening. Bill, thank you for listening. Folks, we got to take a quick break. 844-747-8868.
Hi, everyone. If you've been injured in an accident that was not your fault, listen up. We have legal professionals standing by to answer your questions for free. Call now and find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth. Call 800-702-5400. I'm here with spokesman John Wolf. So, John, tell everyone listening who should call right now.
Well, Maria, first off, thank you for having me here. It's always nice to answer the listeners' questions. Now, as far as who should call in, anyone who's been injured in an accident and think you deserve compensation, give us a call right now. 800-702-5400. You'll find out if you have a case and how much it's potentially worth.
Thanks, John. You heard it, folks. Take advantage of this opportunity and call now. 800-702-5400.
Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center may not be available in all states.
All right, coming up a little bit later, Senator Bill Hagerty is going to join us talking about that Russia jet collision. You got a lot of conservatives in the media wanting to go to war with Russia, so we'll see what the senator has to say. Also, Denise Quinn, we're going to ask her about Walmart shutting down their stores in Portland because of crime. Also, a school teacher telling children to write a sexual fantasy involving Crisco, Mrs. Butterworth, and Barry White baby-making music. We'll tell you more about that as well a little bit later on. But let's get right back to the phones. Chris in Memphis, Tennessee, listening to us on KWAM. Hey, Chris, what's on your mind?
Hey, yes, sir. I wanted to talk more about the whole reparation situation.
Yes, sir. Go right ahead.
Excellent. Now, ultimately, if we're going to be fair about the whole situation with slavery and when it comes to reparations specifically, we got to look at how much money that was generated to the economy, the whole entire United States economy, when slavery was up and running, which was built on free labor. We're talking about billions of dollars. And even if it wasn't billions of dollars, because, you know, we're talking about over 100 years ago, the amount of money that impacted the economy. And that's the main reason why there was a civil war to begin with, because the North could not compete with the South in the free labor that was provided based off of slavery.
So the question I would have, Chris, is what's the dollar? Is there a dollar amount that would make everyone happy?
Well, based on inflation, I mean, we have to be realistic because those setbacks are still in place and where we can't advance as a race because we don't have a foundation that was built like our counterparts that are what you consider the forefathers. So to answer your question about a number to get the ball rolling, and, you know, we're talking about inflation, you know, that's a key thing. I would say for those who can prove that they were descendants of slaves here in the United States, a good number at least would be 3 million, at least. I mean, I'm being fair on that, at least 3 million.
So here in Memphis, Tennessee, the county commission is spending about $5 million of COVID cash to study a reparations plan and what that would look like. And so here in the Memphis area, I would say $3 million here would go a lot farther than $3 million in San Francisco.
This is true.
So is this a perpetual thing, Chris? So because San Francisco wants for the next 250 years, they believe that blacks are going to be oppressed in America for at least 250 more years.
Mm-hmm.
And they deserve that. Not only the cash, but also a yearly payment of $97,000. How do you feel about that?
Well, I think, you know, especially with California and the history of California versus Tennessee, we got to look at the history when it comes to slavery. And it's kind of odd that, you know, we're talking about the Confederate state of Tennessee versus California, and they're being more open to the idea of some type of compensation versus money that was just left over from COVID relief.
Chris, let me ask you a question. So we've had a lot of crime. We've had a lot of crime in Memphis. And let's say a black guy steals my Cadillac and destroys my car. Should I demand reparations from you?
But we got to look at the cause and effect. Why would he be in a position to steal your car in the first place?
I see. So maybe I should not even have ownership of that car.
No, we're not talking about that. We're talking about a society that hasn't empowered a particular race of people to be in a position to establish themselves to even have a Cadillac.
Well, I worked hard my whole life. I come from a poor family. I don't come from a place of means. So I don't blame that on anybody. You get out there and you work your butt off. And I worked a lot of jobs to get where I'm at today. And it was a lot of hard work. I suspect you did the same thing. I would never in a million years expect you or anybody else to pay me money simply because of the color of my skin. That's just not how I was brought up. That's not how I was raised.
Understood. But you was never also considered one third of a human being as well either. So you had once again, a foundation that was backed by the Constitution. They gave you a position to even coming from a poverty-stricken environment to elevate yourself?
I don't know. I remember when I was in high school back in the 80s, and I got pulled aside, and I said, they said, hey, you know what? You're eligible for this advancement. I was working for a fast food joint. And they said, but we're not going to be able to give it to you. And it's because you're white and we have affirmative action policies in place. So we're giving it to somebody else. That was an eye-opening experience for me as a teenager. But you know what? It made me work even harder, Chris. And I suspect
Understood.
There are a lot. I hear what you're saying. And we're coming up on the end of the hour. Or otherwise, I would continue this conversation. So, Chris, I'd love for you to give us a call back because this is a national conversation. Folks, this is not a joke. It's not hyperbole. There are folks out there who believe they deserve what you have. And you're hearing it live on the radio. Stick around. We've got hour two coming up. This is the Todd Stern Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
And hello, America. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. So glad that you have decided to hang out with us today. A lot going on and a couple of big stories coming out of Washington, of course. Earlier today, we got the video footage of the Russian jet basically taking a big fuel dump on our U.S. drone, sending it into the Black Sea. It's really stunning video, and we have it up on our website, toddstearns.com. I'd encourage you to check that out. And folks, it's troubling because now we understand the Pentagon says this is part of an ongoing effort by the Russians to bully and harass our drones and our pilots. And that just to me is simply unacceptable. I was talking to a good friend of the program, a Congressman Mark Green on the, he serves as chairman of the House, the Homeland Security Committee in the House. And, he's really disgusted by all of this as well. We should all be. I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Great to have with us our friend from the Volunteer State, my senator, Senator Bill Hagerty. Senator, hope you're doing well today.
I am, Todd. Great to be with you today. Thank you.
And there are a lot of topics I want to get to, but again, this video coming out, have you had a chance to look at the video footage of the jet?
Yes, I have.
What was your reaction to that?
Look, this, in the first instance, it speaks volumes about the incompetency and the poor training of the Russian military. You know, we are allowed to operate, we do operate in international airspace, and we should be able to do that unfettered. And what we saw here was entirely unacceptable. When I was ambassador to Japan, we constantly ran freedom of navigation operations through the South China Sea. In that area, we were constantly encountering Russian and Chinese fighter jets. We know how to handle this. But again, this was extremely unprofessional. These were international waters. Russia had no right to do what they did. And this is something that I think it's just extremely unfortunate that we're in a position like this where this type of incident could actually result in an escalation if it's not properly handled. The real problem, though, is that we've allowed this to occur. I mean, we've decided to wage war on domestic energy here. That's driven up energy prices around the world. Vladimir Putin has benefited from this dramatically. You know how high oil prices have gotten, and that's funding all of this malign behavior by the Russians, because we're allowing this to happen. The best way to stop this is to start producing American energy again, lower the cost of energy all around the globe, and take Vladimir Putin out of business.
Senator, we've been following the developments with the banking industry, of course, even in Tennessee. In the Memphis area, there were some businesses that were impacted, sort of the trickle down. They were they had payroll and other software companies that took care of paying employees, and people weren't able to get paid because of what happened with the Silicon Valley Bank. And a lot of folks are saying that the woke policies of this bank are what led to the downfall. What say you?
Well, what we had here with Silicon Valley Bank was clearly a failure of management. And I think I understand where people are coming from, because we find out that Silicon Valley Bank's management were focused on meeting unrelated social justice pursuits. You know, they patting themselves on the back about how they're doing with their diversity, equity, and inclusion goals. They've got a $5 billion green energy initiative underway. Really disturbing is the fact that the social justice pursuits there are being spearheaded by an official whose job ostensibly was to be focusing on risk management. I really wonder if those people that are wondering about getting their paychecks or those depositors that spent the weekend worried about whether they're going to get their money out of the bank, I wonder if they're really concerned about whether SVB met its diversity and equity goals this quarter, or if they would really prefer that they attended to the business of banking.
It was really stunning, and I was reading the Washington Examiner report, and they quoted you, and I appreciated what you had to say. They actually referenced a tweet. You said it's abundantly clear that SVB was terribly mismanaged. My understanding, Senator, that, again, when we're dealing with startups, and the problem was 90% of the companies that had business at the bank were well over the $250,000 mark. But many of these startups, it usually takes months if you're going to a mainline bank to get the approval process, and it was just taken about a week or so at SVB. So no wonder they were in such disarray.
Yeah, SVB has a very different business model than most traditional banks. I mean, I've served on bank boards in Tennessee. We take a very conservative approach to banking in Tennessee, as you might imagine. This type of situation would not have occurred, I don't believe, with any bank in Tennessee. But when you get to the core of what happened here, the management team should have been managing their investment portfolio. What happened was they were taking in a tremendous amount of deposits. They went from a $70 billion bank in 2019 to $211 billion in 2022. They weren't in a position to prudently lend that money out. So what they started doing is buying safe securities, meaning they're buying treasuries, mortgage-backed securities that are backed by the government. But to get a higher yield on those, they were going further and further out in terms of the duration of those securities. And so when interest rates start rising dramatically, as they did when the Fed steps in to try to fight back this inflation that Joe Biden has created, they find those securities underwater, because a security that's paying, you know, 1.5%, which is a lot of that was in their portfolio, now that rates are up at 4.5%, if you're going to get somebody to buy that security from you today, you're going to have to make up that difference by discounting the value of that security, meaning, you know, it may be worth 90 cents in the dollar, 80 cents in the dollar, 70 cents in the dollar. That's the size of discount you'd have to get in this environment to want to take that 1.5% paper over the option to make 4.5% if you just bought short-term paper today. So that put them underwater. And the most disturbing thing is that beyond what happened with Silicon Valley Bank's mismanagement and getting into that position is the fact that the San Francisco Fed didn't do anything about it.
Yeah.
Were they asleep at the wheel? They're getting these liquidity reports, detailed liquidity reports. This would have been obvious. In fact, it was so obvious that bank analysts back as early as last fall were pointing to Silicon Valley Bank for just precisely this problem. Yet the San Francisco Fed, it seems that they've done nothing about this. Oddly, maybe coincidentally, maybe not, the president of Silicon Valley Bank sits on the board of directors of the San Francisco Fed. They, of course, had that all wiped out by the weekend, not a mention of him on their website. They cleared that out immediately. But there are real issues with respect to the failure of oversight by the San Francisco Fed. And then the next big issue, Todd, is this. The FDIC took this into bankruptcy on Friday. They had the weekend to run an auction and find a bidder for this bank. I heard a lot of rumors through the weekend. I didn't get a lot of sleep over this weekend, neither did my staff, trying to get our arms around what was happening here. Many bidders were involved in this. Many people were inquiring. What we heard, and I can't verify this, what we heard is that the largest banks were told not to bid. Now, I don't know if that's true or not, but that rumor was prevalent throughout the weekend. When I finally got the FDIC officials on the phone, I asked them point blank whether they had a bidder. The answer they gave me was yes, they did have a bidder. When I asked them why did they decline that bid, I said, was it on ideological grounds or was it on substantive grounds? They didn't answer.
Wow.
But in my view, they should have had a buyer by Monday morning. That's how you do this. If the buyer came in and gave them a bid they didn't like, they should have started negotiating with them rather than just turn it down. I'm not certain what's happened here. But what we had was a situation where the contagion could have been controlled to something as simple as negotiating, you know, what the discount might be on one bank's set of deposits. Now we're in a situation where they've guaranteed the deposits of this bank in a way that I would think any American would ask, are all deposits in America guaranteed, no matter how high they are? We really are in uncharted waters here, and I think this is gross mismanagement that led us to this point.
Do you fear that, Biden is putting us on a path that could eventually lead to the nationalization of banks?
That's why I asked whether this was an ideological decision or whether it was substantive, because if that's their goal, then of course they would want to get to this situation. It's not good for America. It's not good for our economy. If you think about our competitive advantage as a nation, Todd, we've talked about this over the years. America's got amazing strengths in a number of arenas, but our financial markets, the depth and the liquidity and the sophistication of American financial markets, the fact that our U.S. dollar is the reserve currency of the world, that's a huge competitive advantage. And again, here's another thing, just like our energy independence that the Biden administration is frittering away. We've got to stop this. We've got to come back and strengthen those areas where we are strongest and not do everything we can. And that's what this administration seems to be helping on, is, you know, regulating our competitive advantage out of existence or finding some way to nationalize it.
On the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, Senator Bill Hagerty from Tennessee. And Senator, rarely on Capitol Hill is there much bipartisan agreement, but you were able to find it with a very important resolution about this incredibly irresponsible crime bill that Washington, D.C. is looking at. This is just insane.
No, it really just does underscore how far out there the far left has gotten. When you've got a crime wave underway in our nation's capital, in the past 3 years, we've seen carjackings triple, Todd. We've had homicide rates north of 200 a year for the past 2 years. You know, people breaking into folks' homes, all of this is on the rise. And the D.C. Council's response to this is some sort of woke messaging effort where they're going to lower the penalties on major felonies here in the district. And get this one, Todd. They want to make all misdemeanors subject to a jury trial. We understand how this works. The court system is already backed up in Washington trying to try major felony. If you make every misdemeanor subject to a jury trial as well, that means the system is going to be so clogged that it will crack and break. So any good prosecutor is going to say, we're just going to stop prosecuting misdemeanors altogether. That's going to lead to folks walking into stores with garbage bags and loading them up to the $499 level or wherever the misdemeanor threshold might be for a given crime. It's going to create just a situation of lawlessness like we've never seen before in D.C. This seems to be what the D.C. City Council wants, but they forget the fact that this is the federal District of Columbia. I mean, just today, Marsha Blackburn and I had 200 people in to visit us. You know, people here on spring break, kids on school trips, that sort of thing. They need to be comfortable coming to our nation's capital and not worry about being carjacked or not worry about being harmed in some way by this crime wave that's going on. So the D.C. Council, out to lunch. They didn't expect this would happen, but I was able to block it.
Well, we're glad you're doing it. And again, we base our program in my hometown, Memphis, Tennessee, and we are the most dangerous city in America. So it's almost as if we're telling Washington here, hold our beer, because we can do crime worse here. And, you know, it's a result of elections having consequences. It's really as simple as that.
Well, they do. But here in the District of Columbia, I serve on the Appropriations Committee of the Senate. And we have a constitutional obligation, and the D.C. Home Rule Act specifically says that these laws are subject to review by the U.S. Senate. And I'm the ranking member on the subcommittee that has oversight for the District of Columbia. So I take those responsibilities seriously, even though the D.C. Council is not taking its responsibilities seriously. And it was up to me, I felt, to stand up for the rule of law. I hope that the
Absolutely.
Message from D.C. is met around the nation. I hope that this is seen in large cities everywhere. The public has had it with this lawlessness and these woke policies. We need to get back to law and order, respecting our police, and bring some sense of certainty back to our
city. Well
cities.
Said. All right, Senator, we really appreciate your time. We're going to let you get back to all those spring breakers up there, and thanks for fighting the good fight up on Capitol Hill.
Don, thank you so much. Always great to be with you.
All right, Senator Bill Hagerty, everybody, and we are blessed here in Tennessee just to have two incredibly strong conservative United States senators, and we really appreciate their great work. All right, we've got to take a quick break here. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Got to tell you about some big news. Former President Trump is now urging you to get a copy of David Horowitz's new book. It's called The Final Battle, and Trump says it's great. Already number one Amazon bestseller. The final battle reveals a secret war led by leftists and the woke who want to destroy America. Horowitz says they're already in our schools, our churches, even our military. Now, the final battle explains how Biden and the big media want to stop Trump and DeSantis before 2024, and Horowitz names names in his book. So get Final Battle in bookstores, or you can check out my free offer and save $28. I'd rather do that, actually. Call 1-800-NEWSMAX. That's 800-NEWSMAX, or go online to finalbattle611.com. That's finalbattle611.com, and get your free copy of David's book today. All right, Geraldo. By the way, you know Geraldo's real name is Gerald. Did you know? Gerald Rivera. Geraldo's very upset with all you people out there. He says it's time to put up or shut up. And he said that the Republicans have been investigating Hunter Biden for 5 years now, and they've uncovered nothing remotely criminal. Well, first of all, that's just simply not true, Jerry Rivers. When you look at what we know Hunter Biden was up to, and I'm not talking about the drugs or the guns or the hookers and the whores, pardon me, sidewalk sallies. I'm not even talking about the bribery or the foreign aid. I mean, there's just so much money laundering, the pay for play. It goes on and on and on and on. So that's not the issue. There's plenty of crime there. There's plenty of evidence there. But for some reason, the Republicans have a very difficult problem in delivering on these big investigations. And I remember years ago when I started this program, almost 6 years ago, at Fox News Channel, and we would have all these folks on, and they would say, Todd, this is an earth-shattering investigation. It's going to bring down the Obama administration. People are going to jail. Hillary's going to jail. Barack's going to jail. Everybody's going to jail. Susan Rice, Valerie Jarrett, everybody's going to jail. Nobody ever went to jail. Nobody ever got charged. And it was every single week. And I wonder if you, as a viewer of Fox News Channel or any of the other conservative networks, do you get tired of these lawmakers coming out and saying, we're going to get them, but they never get them? So, yeah, there's a lot of evidence that Hunter is a criminal and just a sleazeball. We see that. But the question is, when are people going to be brought to justice? When is he going to be brought to justice? So I do appreciate one thing Geraldo said. Pardon me, Jerry said. Jerry said, put up or shut up. And I agree. Now, I get a lot of email from you folks, and many of you are wondering why I am not talking about Hunter Biden every single day on this program. And I'm going to explain why. Because, first of all, I think you would get sick and tired of it. And second of all, until they actually come and say, okay, we're about to file charges, I'm not quite sure what the point is. Now, if there are new developments, happy to share those with you. But I do believe, I'm a little frustrated that we have the Republicans out there and they never, ever deliver on these investigations. Ever. No one's been brought to justice. Nobody. Not even for Russia collusion. So I get a little frustrated with that. By the way, new survey out from Fox News. It's about Fox News. About 21% of Fox News viewers say they trust the network less following the release of evidence in the Dominion case. And basically that evidence, and it's terrible, but your favorite Fox stars, they were basically Trump haters off camera. I mean, that's it in a nutshell. They just hated it. All right, got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. We're going to get to your call, so hang tight if you're on hold. Do you still trust Fox News? Are you tired of the endless investigations? Do you want to see somebody go to jail for something? 844-747-8868. This is The Todd Stern Show. Tennessee, in the Nashville area, there is a brand new congressman. His name is Andy Ogles, and he is in the middle of this attack from the mainstream media. I've never seen anything like this. The level of attacks being directed at this guy is just bonkers wild. And the latest accusation came out yesterday from a Nashville television station, News Channel 5. This is a far, far left news organization, and the reporter is a raging leftist. And it's just an ugly thing what they're doing here. Now, I want to bring in a good friend of this program. He's one of the top political strategists in the state of Tennessee, if not the top political strategist, Steve Gill. And Steve, I want you to set up this story for us. First of all, thanks for coming on the program. I want you to set up the story of what they're alleging Andy Ogles has done now, because this is pretty heinous.
Yeah, we see really outrageous behavior from the left wing, you know, all the time. But this is a new low, a ghoulish level of attack that's just blatantly false. So Phil Williams is this muckraking so-called journalist for Channel 5. He's their investigative reporter who regularly goes out with half-truths, misinformation, and smears people and then quickly moves to his next story. In this case, he did a story claiming that Andy Ogles, who had a child die at birth, Lincoln Ogles, he and his wife Monica had the child, Lincoln died at birth. They set up a GoFundMe account to do a memorial garden for Lincoln and raised about $23,800. And when they looked at the cost that the memorial garden was going to be, 12 plots, burial plots in this memorial garden, just the dirt was going to cost about $21,000. And the whole project was going to be closer to $60,000 or $80,000. Because I think some people look at this story that Channel 5 didn't think, well, why didn't they do the memorial garden with $23,000? Well, again, just buying the dirt at the cemetery would have been $21,000 and building different landscaping and ADA compliant and then doing the burials for the kids that would have been buried there if they died, you know, early or you know, in a car crash or something, would have been a $60,000 or $80,000 project. So Andy and his wife decided, no, we'll use the money, most of which was provided by them, by the way. The first $5,000 contribution came from Andy and his wife. About 80% of the donations came from their family and their friends. So this is not like people were being duped all over the country. They decided to use the money to actually help people who suffered the loss of a child or a family member.
Okay, so let me Yeah, let me jump in here. So basically the allegation is their child died. This was 2014. The child died, and they were raising this money for a memorial garden. The memorial garden was never built, and now Channel 5, all these years later, is accusing him of what? Misappropriating the money? I mean, what are they accusing him of?
They basically, in their headline on the story that came out, said he kept the money. Now, here's where it gets really interesting, Todd. Channel 5, a few hours ago, deleted that line in the headline. He kept the money. They now say he won't say where the money went, but quietly, silently, instead of saying he stole the money, they just delete that, like, well, nobody will notice, except there's a screenshot of where it said he kept the money, and now it's he won't say where the money went. Well, he's saying where the money went to other media outlets. He's just not talking to this muckraking, lying, you stole the money fake journalist with answers to him. But Channel 5, just a few hours ago, changed their headline from he kept the money to he won't say where the money went.
So have they fired this reporter yet, this Phil Williams guy?
No, they have not fired him. They have not issued an apology. They have not issued a correction to the story. They just deleted that line. I think they're looking at the prospects of facing a lawsuit. You know, even a public figure, when you lie about them, not have an opinion, when you lie about them, even a public figure has a right to be compensated for slander and for libel. And in this case, they accused him of stealing the money based upon attacking him about the death of his child 9 years ago.
So, and in weeks, I mean, this has been going on for a long time now. They've been accusing him of inflating his resume, his credentials. They went after him about the college degree, and they're trying to make him the Tennessee version of George Santos. I think that's what they're trying to do.
Yeah, and it's the same, you know, muckraking reporter, you know, trying to chase him down a concourse in the airport, doing the typical stuff we see from these kinds of fake reporters. And those are legitimate issues. You know, if he overstated his degree, if he overstated what his college major was, this guy's gone back and looked at his transcripts from 20-some years ago saying, well, he really wasn't an economics major. You know, who cares? But this is a step further than that when you start literally claiming the guy stole money for a memorial fund for his dead child. That goes beyond, I think, what anybody would think would be fair game. And I think Channel 5 should be ashamed of themselves. Other journalists in Nashville and Middle Tennessee should be calling this guy out. If we're going to have journalists try to claim that their careers are part of integrity and journalistic integrity and credibility, you got to call out and police your own. And their silence speaks as loudly about channels 2, 5, 17, 4, and everybody else, the Nashville Tennessean. This guy ought to be the front page opinion editorial on every station and every paper saying, this is not what journalism is.
Well, the problem is, and we invited Mr. Ogles to come on this program, the problem is he's not speaking out on the right platforms, and unfortunately, the perception becomes reality if you don't get out there and address this head on. And I say that because a quick Google search and just about every left-wing publication is leading with this story right now, and his side of it is being, you know, minimized or marginalized. So
I agree 100%.
He's got to get out in front of this.
And again, all these outlets that are repeating the lie, they're liable as well. And it's interesting, you know, when Channel 5 backtracked quietly, silently, are these other outlets correcting the record or not?
It's a fair question. And again, Andy Ogles has had a target on his back, and I think it was really elevated when he took a stand with the House Freedom Caucus 20 standing against Kevin McCarthy during the speaker vote. So I'm wondering if maybe he's got some establishment enemies that are coming after him and trying to get their pound of flesh as well as the libs.
Oh, I warned him at the time that there are long knives, and the 20 put up a valiant and ultimately victorious fight with the speaker. But a lot of the other less conservative members have long memories and long knives. And when you least expect it, as you know, in politics, you'll find you got shivved in the back, you know, a la Julius Caesar, et tu Brute. So I would agree that Andy needs to be speaking up. Part of the challenge is that some people say, well, he's got to produce the receipt. You know, this was 9 years ago. Some of the payments that they've made, and they've paid, I talked to Andy, they've made payments in excess of the $23,000 to individuals who lost a child or lost a family member to pay travel expenses for a kid suffering from cancer to get to hospital. But the receipts include credit card charges on credit cards he no longer has from 8, 9 years ago. So they're trying to figure out how do they retrieve the records and what is their obligation to set the record straight and tell the truth when he's telling other media outlets, here's what happened to the money. It's just his refusal to talk to this one fake journalist who has a hit piece out. And even when Channel 5 retracts it a little bit, they don't retract it, correct it, or fire Phil Williams.
All right. Well, Steve, we appreciate the other side of the story here, and we're going to stay on top of this one. What a mess. But again,
by the way, TennesseeStar.com has a good detailed report and a response from Andy. Again, responding to a conservative media outlet, great. But as you said, you've got to respond in a broader platform. But TennesseeStar.com has the Ogles response, and they should have a screenshot up of both the previous story and the current story on Channel 5 showing that they literally deleted he kept the money without apologizing, retracting the story, or taking it back. That's the accusation, that he stole the money from this memorial fund. That's a lie. And Channel 5 is backtracking, but only kind of quiet.
Well, Charlie Kirk gave a perfect illustration of how to deal with this just the other day. He was giving that speech at UC Davis. The chancellor comes out, calls him, you know, says that Charlie wants to hurt transgender people. The Sacramento Bee accused Charlie of wanting to lynch transgender people. And before Charlie finished his speech, Steve, the attorneys were already at the newspaper they got a full retraction as a result of that. And you got to do it. You got to play hardball. Sue.
Yeah, fetal position doesn't win. Punching back twice as hard does. Ask Donald Trump.
That's it. That's the way to do it. All right, Steve, keep us updated.
Thanks, Todd.
All right, good guy right there, Steve Gill from Nashville. That's what you got to do, folks. I'm tired of playing. I'm tired of being in that fetal position. Let's get up, be a man, and fight back. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. You heard Steve on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line, America's only Christian conservative wireless carrier, and they have plans to fit any budget, no matter how big or how small. Are you a homeowner, business owner? They have plans for everybody. All you need to do is go to patriotmobile.com/Todd. That's patriotmobile.com/Todd, and they've got all the information there that make it super simple. You can also call at 972-PATRIOT, 972-PATRIOT. Now, it doesn't matter if you call, get on the website, use my promo code Todd, and they're going to give you a great discount at patriotmobile.com/Todd. All right, I have a question for all you conservatives out there. So there is a state, and they're looking, this state controlled by Republicans, supermajority of Republicans, to be specific. And some legislation has been introduced in both the House and the Senate that would ban business owners from banning people from bringing guns onto their property. So maybe you've been to, you know, go to a restaurant, and there's a sign on the door that says you are not allowed to bring a gun onto the premises. And it's, you know, people get really upset about that. I basically, by and large, my general rule is if there's a sign like that, I'm going to go and eat dinner somewhere else. It's not necessarily a deal breaker for me, but for a lot of people it is. You know, they say that's not right. So this law would then order these business owners, private business owners, to remove those signs. So business owners would no longer have the right to say, no, you cannot bring a gun onto the premises. So my question is very simple. Do you support that kind of legislation? Do you believe the government should step in and tell a small business or any other business how to run that business? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I'm just curious. I know at our radio facility here, I'll never forget this, we had an employee come up one day and said, Todd, I hope you don't mind, but I carry. And I said, why would I mind? I said, this isn't NPR. No, we support people. I have no problem with that. But that was my decision to make as the owner of the business. Why should the government come in and tell me, Todd Starnes, private business owner, how I should conduct the affairs of my business? Why would I agree with something like that? But I'm curious. How do you feel about that? 844-747-8868. That's our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. I don't know. Maybe we could turn it around and say, well, maybe the law ought to be that if you do have that policy where guns are banned, then you become liable for anything that happens on your property and people get hurt. Curious to hear your thoughts on that. Let's go to Art in Ohio. Art, what's on your mind?
Well, about half an hour ago or so, or maybe a little more, you were talking about the SVB bank situation in California.
Yes, sir.
And the folks out there, right, who are the investors in SVB Bank, they walked into that, put their money on the line, and they said, we are willing to play the high-risk, high-reward game the way SVB plays the game. If, in fact, they do that with their eyes wide open, which I'm guessing most of them are, then when the bank takes a nosedive, as investors, my understanding is the investors eat the loss, not the general public. So I don't know why anyone is talking about bailing that bank out. The investors' money should be used to pay off the outstanding debts and the liabilities that the bank is there for. And since the FDIC covers the first $250,000, then those investors who, are in that particular situation will get their $250,000 from the FDIC, and the remaining investors, their route to get their money is to let the investors who have invested in SVB Bank eat the loss.
That's right, because Art, again, if you're gonna take if that's a high risk option, and it is proposition, then you know what? Sometimes it's not going to work out in your favor. But again, I'm with you. I don't understand why the taxpayers should be on the hook for anything.
Those folks put their money in there hoping for a high reward.
Yep.
But when you go in for high reward, you also go in with your eyes wide open that you are in high risk territory. And if the ship goes down, you go down with the ship.
That's the way it ought to be. Art, appreciate the call. Thank you. It's pretty simple. Art's got it. Let's go to Fred in Memphis, Tennessee. KWAM, our great affiliate. Fred, what say
you? Hi, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
I personally have a carry permit, and I think that every business owner has the right to say yes or no on bringing your weapon on their property. I think that's something that's constitutional. However, Tennessee has passed a law a couple years ago that if you post your property that I can't bring my legally concealed carry permit weapon on your property and something happens and say I get hurt and I could have stopped or prevented that if I'd have had my weapon, then you are now, as a property owner, personally liable for my injury and can be sued. When Tennessee passed that law, there were several of the big stores that took the sign down. And that's got to be the reason why, because the sign just mysteriously disappeared after that law was put into effect.
Yeah, I like that law, Fred. And again, I am a Second Amendment purist. I have a problem forcing people to, I don't want the government coming in, because if the government can tell you, you've got to you can't say no guns, no service, then they're going to say something else that, it's just a slippery slope.
It is, because once you start that snowball rolling downhill, there's no telling where to go next.
You've got that right. Fred, great thought. And with that music means we've got to scoot out of here. Thank you for listening to KWAM. Hang tight, everybody. Another hour. We're going to the phones, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show.
From the Liberty University studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. We've got a lot going on this hour. Hang tight if you're on the lines. A lot of people wanting to weigh in on this firearm situation, and I want to reset the story for you. So there are Republican lawmakers that are advancing legislation, and they want to force business owners to remove bans on guns. So let's say you have a restaurant or a business, and you've got a big sign on the front of your establishment, and you say, no weapons allowed. Well, the Republicans want to pass a law that says you can't do that, that you have to allow people to come into your store, your private business, with their gun. And you have no right to say anything about that. The government knows best. Now, I'm a Second Amendment purist. I believe that you have the right to bear arms, but I also believe that you have rights as a business owner. We allow people to carry here in the building that I own in Memphis, Tennessee. As a matter of fact, I encourage people to carry because Memphis is a dangerous town. But at the same time, I don't believe the government should be coming in and ordering businesses to do something that might violate their personally held beliefs, no matter how stupid those beliefs might be. So I'm just curious to know from you, and we're going to get to the phones here in just a few moments, but I'm curious to know if you believe that the Republicans are doing the right thing here, or is this a government overreach, a government overstep? 844-747-8868 is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. Well, I want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line. Always an honor to have our good friend Denise Quinn from radio station KYKN, our great affiliate in Salem, Oregon, joining us. Denise, hope you're doing well today.
I am doing well, Todd. Thanks for having me on today.
So a couple of stories out in your neck of the woods, and I thought we got to get Denise on to talk about it. And I want to start with Walmart, because Walmart, I understand, they're shutting down their stores in the Portland area. Why are they doing that?
There are two of them up there that are being shut down. The reasons I'm hearing, I think, you know, sort of the PR reasons are, I don't know, lack of foot traffic perhaps, but we all know what's happening in Portland with lawlessness gone crazy. I imagine the losses have been staggering for these stores, and it's unfortunate because the neighborhoods that they are in need them. So, you have to figure out what are Oregonians that live in those neighborhoods going to do? Walmart offers low-cost goods and prescriptions. And so, but from a retail perspective, I mean, I think all of us can understand why at some point you're like, uncle, I can't do this anymore.
Yeah, in December, the chief executive officer of Walmart warned that if these thefts increased really across the country, they're going to either have to start raising prices to make up for the lost, inventory, or they're going to have to start shutting down the problematic stores. And it looks like that's what they're doing in Portland.
Exactly. Instead of, addressing the root causes. And we know that the solution to these things are simple. Prosecute criminals. It's not rocket science, but it's not happening here, especially in Multnomah County.
I'm wondering if it's bad for Walmart there in the Portland area, it's got to be even worse for, I suspect, small business owners.
Many have shut down. I mean, I don't know, you may have seen a news story where Nike was sort of begging, you know, we want to at least hire our own guards or will you do anything? And it's being met with deaf ears. We've lost so many businesses, especially the small mom and pops. I mean, some of them are broken into and vandalized two or three times a week, some of them. And, of course, you know, you've got the, well, they've got insurance, which is garbage because it doesn't help you after the third or fourth time. So the downtown core is hollowed out. It is that we had some colleagues that had gone up for a meeting and were absolutely stunned at how dystopian it feels down there.
And it's sad. It's a beautiful town, and years ago I was out there. Actually, it was with Michelle Malkin and Dinesh D'Souza. We were doing an event at the Downtown Convention Center and had a chance to go out. The great music scene, great food scene, and I hear it's just been decimated now.
It has. It was once, I mean, it was a jewel of a city, one of my favorite places to go. I was actually at that event where you were and did some strolling around down there. It's not the same. People don't feel safe down there. And again, when you've got a hollowed out core, it just metastasizes out, and it's spreading out into closer suburbs, and it's concerning for a lot of people, and a lot of people are feeling trapped.
We're starting to see some light between liberals and leftists now, especially in San Francisco, where they're doing the whole reparations thing, and liberals are saying, wait, you want to do what? I'm wondering about Portland. Are you guys seeing the same thing there? Are liberals finally waking up? The leftists are, we can't save them.
No,
they're gone.
Progressives, no, but you're right, and I'm glad you make that distinction because I always do too. There's a big difference between a liberal and a leftist. I mean, I almost would put myself as a classical liberal. To a degree, yes, but you know what? We had conversations in 2022. We thought 2022, man, we hit rock bottom. We're going to go for a Republican governor, and it didn't happen. And it's now just getting progressively worse. We have elected a progressive leftist mayor. So we'll see how that's going. But I think legislation moving through, you know, $1,000 per homeless person, you know, basically legalized drugs, something has got to give you. And you hope at some point liberals do see that light and change the way they vote.
Wait. They're giving the homeless people $1,000?
There's legislation moving through now where it's proposed to do that with really basically no strings attached. So honestly, Todd, what could possibly go wrong?
Sweet mercy. All right. Denise Quinn from radio station KYKN. Denise, the other story, and we were talking about this yesterday on the national show, and Grace Baker was like, oh, we got to get Denise on to talk about this. So children were assigned a sex lesson at a school in Eugene, Oregon, and it involved the children, and the teacher said, we want you to write a short story, an essay, about a sexual fantasy involving feather boas, romantic music, massage oil, and or flavored syrup. And it's just shocking. I want to read this. Denise, I'm not going to make you read this. I will read this.
Thanks.
This is the exact assignment. And moms and dads, this was a homework assignment. So moms and dads got to see this in the home. Youngsters had to write a short story of a paragraph or two about a sexual fantasy that will have no penetration of any kind or oral sex, no way of passing an STI. The assignment tells students to pick three items to use in their story. Gives examples of romantic music, candles, massage oils, the Mrs. Butterworth. It summarizes the assignment by saying your story should show that you can show and receive loving physical affection without having sex. I want to know how many teachers were arrested and charged with crimes as a result of this.
Isn't that a great question? Because I'm thinking the teacher in question, who is somebody named Kirk Miller, should not have a job right now. And you want to talk about parents being outraged. I mean, I think, unfortunately, parents in the big school districts in Oregon are kind of in a perpetual state of outrage because the hits just keep on coming every day, and this is just the latest one. I mean, this is it's horrifying to read this. It's completely inappropriate. And, you know, I think one of the students said she felt mortified, awkward, and creeped out. And my first thought was this kind of felt like a middle school party where you had to spin the bottle. I mean, it's just where you feel wildly inappropriate, wildly embarrassed. It does not belong in a classroom.
Oh, well, they didn't spin the bottle. They had like a wheel, like you would see on Wheel of Fortune. And that was another assignment called With Whom Would You Do It? And the children were invited to participate in this where they had to pick who they would have oral sex with, anal. I mean, it's very graphic. I'm not going to go any further.
Yeah.
But they got graded. This was an actual assignment in a public school classroom.
Yep, and it is Oregon, and apparently these are standards that were adopted as part of standards that were adopted in 2016. So my question is, when I saw this, how many times has this been handed out? And, you know, obviously I don't think there's necessarily a benign and innocent explanation for this, but is this because of COVID now? Parents are aware of that they're seeing this? Because I would have been outraged about this in 2016.
Yeah, I'm with you, and it shocks me because the school is saying, well, look, this was part of the approved curriculum, so what do you want us to do here?
Yeah. Maybe have some discernment, some judgment, and look at this and go, maybe this isn't appropriate. Maybe we ought to revisit this. It's unfortunate, though, every time parents raise the alarm bells and try to go testify, they're cast as the bad guys, the unloving bigots. Meanwhile, their kids are being mortified and creeped out in their schools with something that is so wildly inappropriate. And why is this person asking these questions of high school kids?
I mean, the guy's a pervert.
Yeah, every level of this is disturbing, and that's not even a strong enough word.
Denise, I'm curious, you know, when you guys talk about these stories on the radio station, what are folks there in Oregon? Because the rest of the nation thinks everybody's like, you know, Portland. But, I mean, there are conservatives in your state.
Correct. Unfortunately, the city that I'm in is not, and it's getting progressively more progressive. But, yeah, the rest of the state, eastern southern Oregon, is and looks at, you know, and unfortunately, the I-5 corridor here, the three big blue blobs of Portland, Salem, and Eugene tend to rule the roost. But there's a lot of pushback. We've got school board elections coming up in Salem and candidates that are running very firmly and full-throatedly against this kind of stuff. And so I'm hoping, like you said, when our leftist, you know, or liberals going to start seeing the light and start voting differently because you change this at the school board level.
That's it. That's it. And really, that's where a radio station like KYKN, I mean, you guys really become radio-free Oregon, for lack of a better description.
We do, and we've had the candidates on many times, and we're very vocal about this and that, you know, sort of, again, chiming in and ringing that alarm bell and letting people know this is going on in your schools.
I want to circle back to what's happening in Portland, especially. It's just, it's heartbreaking that people just will stand down and allow their city to be turned into some sort of a wasteland. And I'm wondering what it's going to take to wake people up there.
I honestly don't know. Like I said, I thought 2022 was going to be it. Multnomah County is terrible. You've got counties surrounding it that are trying to push back their, you know, sort of wooing businesses to come over to Washington County. I don't know whether people at some point you get used to it. People get numb to it. So Is it going to take some horrific act of violence, fire? I honestly don't know. I really thought that, especially with liberals seeing this. But, you know, unfortunately, what is also happening as far as voting, they're voting with their feet, and the exodus out of Portland and out of Oregon is ramping up.
Wow.
So, I mean, you know, they are voting.
All right. Well, everything going well at the radio station?
Oh, yeah, we're doing great. Doing great. Loving it out here. And I love being able to really shine a light on things and work with you and get the word out on some of the crazy that's going on out
well,
here.
Well, we love hearing from KYK. You've got some great callers out there, great listeners.
Our listeners are fantastic.
All right, Denise, we're going to let you get back to it. Appreciate you taking some time with us today.
All right. Thanks, Todd. Thanks so much. It's been good talking to you.
The great Denise Quinn over at radio station KYKN. Great. Some of the nicest radio people. And believe it or not, they know their barbecue out there in Oregon. I was very impressed. A beloved cheesecake, one of the best cheesecakes I've ever had. And just good, good people in Salem, Oregon. If you're ever out in that neck of the woods, you got to drive through Salem and say hello to them and get some cheesecake and some delicious barbecue. And all I can tell you is, if your kid, ladies and gentlemen, comes home and that homework assignment involves a tub of Crisco, Barry White music, and a bottle of Mrs. Butterworth's, you better get your butt over to the homeschooling. I'm just telling you right then and there. All right, we got to take a break here. 844-747-8868. If you want to weigh in on this crazy assignment, are you hearing of crazy stuff happening in your child's school? Give us a call. Let us know about it. We're happy to pass along the information. 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. Welcome back, everybody. Good to have you with us. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Chastity Buttigieg is a guest on The View today, and Chastity is very upset. I mean, very upset at all of you people who laughed at Mike Pence's joke about his husband. That would be Petey Buttigieg, the transsec of the United States of America. So anyway, we'll tell you more about that coming up in just a few moments. Let's go to the phones, though. North Carolina, Vic wants to weigh in on firearms. Hi, Vic. What's on your mind today?
Hello, Mr. Starnes. How are you today, sir?
I'm good. Thank you for asking.
Well, I agree with you. I do have a concealed carry in North Carolina, and I carry. If I go to a business that is posted not to allow firearms, it's my choice then to go put it back in my truck and go on in, or to go somewhere else.
That's it, Vic. I mean, it's pretty simple. I get nervous with these politicians because they're all pretty much the same at the root core of it all. And they just feel like their mission in life is to pass law after law after law. I say, let's just enforce the laws on the books and let's use some common sense.
Well, I wouldn't want nobody to tell me that I have to carry a concealed weapon. That's my choice.
That's it. You're absolutely right. It is your choice, Vic. I appreciate you saying that.
I believe everybody should have their own choice about what they will and will not do and can't do within the law.
It's America. I mean, it's that simple. That's what freedom is all about. All right.
But anyway, I just wanted to chime in. I appreciate your show. I like listening to you. I'm glad to hear you every day.
Well, you're kind to say that, Vic, and you take care of yourself. You're living in a great part of the country, the talk station over in the Morehead City, North Carolina area. Good people out there. All right, let's go to, yes, sir, thank you, Vic. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee, KWAM, our station, Carrie on the line. Carrie, what say you?
Yeah, I say let's split this thing right down the middle. If you want to carry your weapon like the police carry theirs, open, plainly open, then yes, the business owner has every right to say, don't come in here with your gun. But if you want to carry concealed, then that's my prerogative. The business owner has no right to even ask if I'm carrying a weapon.
Well, look, when it comes to a business, and that's why you have the signs up there that say if you don't have any shoes, you can't come into the joint. There are some places like some restaurants that say, well, you have to wear a coat and tie. And if you're not wearing a coat and tie, you can't come and eat in our restaurant. And you know what? I don't wear a coat and tie, so I don't go into those kinds of restaurants. It's very simple to me. I, you know, that's their that's their prerogative, and mine is to go eat someplace where I don't have to wear a coat and tie.
I've let a few managers know that I wasn't happy with their sign on the door. So
yeah, and that's
my
time. And Carrie, that's, you know, that's your right and that's their right. But my issue is I draw the line when I've got lawmakers coming in and saying, this is how you are going to run your business.
What I really wish they would do is stop our employers from saying we can't carry it while at work.
Well, and again, I think that goes back to whoever owns the company, Carrie. I appreciate the call. We got to run. We want to try to squeeze another call in real quick here. Let's go to Craig in North Carolina. Craig, got about 45 seconds.
Okay. I treat it like the rule of parlay in Pirates of the Caribbean, that it's more of a suggestion than an actual law, because if they don't have detection material up there or devices to ensure that nobody else has a gun, they're not serious about it.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying there, but I've seen some of these guys, and they're just doing it intentionally, and they'll like go up to the Walmart, and they've got an AR-15 strapped around their back. You're like, dude, come on now. I mean, I get it, but we know what you're doing.
Okay. Have a good day,
Todd. Hey, Craig. All right. Thanks a lot. Appreciate that call. Craig kept it to 45 seconds. I think it was 40 seconds. All right. We got to take a break here, folks. 844-747-8868. That is our toll-free telephone number. That's 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Starn Show. Just got some intel from our good friend, Congressman James Comer. He is heading up the House Oversight Committee, and they are digging deep into some bank records that now show a Biden family associate, a guy by the name of Rob Walker, used his company to transfer money from a Chinese energy company to Hunter Biden. Now, the bank records that have just been released also show that money was transferred to James Biden, which is the president's brother, Haley Biden, and a fourth unknown Biden. So we can all imagine who that fourth unknown Biden is. But the allegation here is that China owns the Biden family. So according to the information here, Beau Biden's widow, Hunter's ex, got $35,000 in 2017 from a $3 million deal made by Mr. Walker. So we're going to keep you updated on this information as this comes out. This is big stuff. But Beau Biden's widow, Hallie Biden, identified as the new family member who received a cut of the $3 million in bribe that China sent through that associate of Hunter Biden. It's a mess. And now do you understand why Biden was not too keen on shooting down that Chinese spy balloon? There was money on the line. Just telling you. All right, real quick, let's go to the phones here. 844-747-8868. Dave in North Carolina wants to weigh in on firearms. Hi, Dave. How's it going today?
Hey, Todd. Pretty good, I guess. I'm looking at this firearms thing. You know, if you don't want to go into a private business that doesn't have the firearm law, okay, leave it alone. But we cannot, you're saying a group of Republicans is trying to make this law saying that private business owners have to allow concealed weapons. It kind of sounds like you got to make a certain wedding cake. You know, no, if you're a private business, you have the right to run your business how you want. If it's a corporate big box and they have a store policy, then you can, you know, that could be a local or regional thing or whatever. But if it's a private business in America, let it be private and let that business owner decide how to run his business.
Yeah, Dave, it does, again, it just seems pretty obvious to me, and it concerns me whenever a political party has a supermajority like that, sometimes the best intentions fall by the wayside, and I think this is a very misguided piece of legislation that's going to come back and bite everybody in the butt.
That's why I used the wedding cake example.
I love that example.
You know what? It's not about making a wedding cake for a gay couple. There's probably 1,000 gay bakeries who are jumping up and down going, I'll make the cake. It's not about a solution. It's about having a problem. And that's where our nation needs to pull their head out, wipe their eyes clean, and get back on track. We got to stop having problems and start having solutions. And again, a lot of that is through bad representation or lack of representation, as I've told you several times here in the 3rd District in North Carolina, where our representative says, well, I'm going to do this. I'm going to be civil. You know what? The old adage about the squeaky wheel gets the grease. Well, all radical AOC gets more attention than anybody for being an idiot, and her stuff gets promoted while all these Republicans sit around. Well, I got a nice clean haircut and I got a shirt and tie on and I'm acting civil. Yeah. And you're getting nothing done. It's time. And this is the phrase I always use. It's time for somebody to stand on a desk, kick things around and say, okay, now that I have your attention, this is what we need to do. We need to stop running private businesses. We need to start taking care of the public distress that's out there. Do we have clean water? Do we have, they're just not doing it.
You know, Dave, to your point, I've never have understood why, let's say you're going to have a wedding, you're getting married and you are going to a bakery and they just don't like you or they don't like your values. There's just a bad vibe, but you're going to force that bakery to make your wedding cake on the most beautiful day of your most important day of your life. You're going to entrust them with making the cake. It just seems to me to be so petty. Would you not want someone who was totally on board with what you were doing so they would make you the best wedding cake known to mankind?
Absolutely. And who wants one of their wedding toasts to be, we showed them? What?
That's it.
Back to certain people running for president, making petty little comments and, pointing fingers. And it's, we all need to start acting like adults. We need to take care of one another. We need to stop having problems and start having solutions.
That's it. Dave, wise words, sir. You're like a prophet of the Todd Stearns radio program. So, Dave, give us a call back one of these days. I like the way you think. Let's go to, Bill, hang tight, because this ties in with the pettiness of what we're talking about. So a couple of days ago, we told you about this crazy story, the Gridiron Club. It's their annual dinner. It is a roast, politicians, journalists, no cameras allowed, no videos, and everybody's throwing barbs at everybody. It's a fun, uproarious kind of an event, and they've been doing it for years, generations. So anyway, Pence told a joke about Pete Buttigieg, and Buttigieg's husband, Chastity, got very offended by this, and now the White House is demanding an apology, and the basic rule of thumb here is you're not allowed to crack a joke at the expense of a gay person. That's basically it. So Chastity was on The View today with the Squawking Magpies, and here's how all that went down.
Let's get into the joke, right? Alleged joke that the former vice president made about your husband, Secretary Buttigieg. Mm-hmm. We aren't going to repeat it. And the White House has slammed the comments as homophobic, which they were, in my view, and inappropriate. But Mike Pence's former chief of staff called the response from the White House faux outrage. What was your initial reaction when you heard this? And have you heard anything from the former vice president? Do you even expect to?
No. And I think it's not woke, to say that something is homophobic or misogynistic. It doesn't make it woke. It doesn't make you a snowflake to tell someone that they've made a mistake.
Yeah.
And, I spoke up for two reasons. One, I'm always going to stick up for my family.
Yeah.
Especially my kid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And, I don't know if you had that picture there of Gus in the hospital, but
yeah.
I know we all struggle to find a balance between work and family life, and I've never seen someone work harder than my husband to find that balance. But I think Republican or Democrat, we can all agree that when your child, our prematurely born child, mm-hmm. barely 5 pounds, when your kid is connected to a ventilator, you don't want to be anywhere but at their bedside.
That's where you're going to be.
Yeah. 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 So, and watching Gus in the hospital, for anyone who has ever experienced having a child in the ICU,
I've had a child in the NICU. It's very difficult.
When their tiny little hand is gripping around your finger, you know, I would watch Pete have to peel Gus's fingers back and duck into the little bathroom in his room so he could do a Zoom with a virtual background so nobody would see that he's in the hospital.
Wow.
You know, and the other reason I spoke up is because, like I mentioned, we all have an obligation to hold people accountable for when they say something wrong, especially when it's misogynistic, especially when it's homophobic. Yes. And I just don't take that when it's directed at my family, and I don't think anybody else would, especially when you bring a very small, medically fragile child into it.
Oh, absolutely. And also, these are people who, you know, I always get really angry because these folks act like they don't know what it's like to have kids, that they have no idea that it is not... As you say, we all experience the same stuff. When our kids are sick, you got to take care of your kid. Yeah. But this, and also this joke is so old. It's so lazy. If you're going to make a joke, at least have your own.
Yeah, I mean, I could come up with a couple of good jokes about Pete Buttigieg, but... But the thing is, the kids are older now, right?
Yeah.
But we haven't moved on from this joke for some people on the other side of the aisle. But the thing about what he said is it flies in the face of what he says he is. He says he's a family values Republican.
And a faithful one.
Yes, so I don't think he's practicing what he preaches here. But it's part of a much bigger trend, I think, attacking families. And it wasn't just about attacking the LGBTQ community, because someone wrote this and he checked it and purposely said maternity leave rather than paternity leave. But also, it's a bigger conversation about the work that women do in families, right? Taking a swipe at all women in all families and expecting that women would stay at home and raise children, I think, is a pretty misogynistic view, especially from a man who just last year said that we should be supporting more people who adopt.
Okay, so there, folks, it was all over a freaking joke at a roast, which is supposed to be wild. It's supposed to be debauchery. It's supposed to be raucous. He told a joke. And now you've got Chastity Buttigieg on the couch there at The View, squawking like a schoolgirl over this. I've never seen anything like it. But the reality is that Pete Buttigieg, back on the campaign trail, was saying horrible things about Mike Pence. Horrible things. And these were not jokes. Questioning Mike Pence's faith in Jesus Christ because Mike Pence believed that marriage is between one man and one woman. Attacking Mike Pence because Mike Pence believes that two men cannot give birth to twins. And by the way, nobody wants to talk about this, but there's something called a birth mother in the equation of Pete Buttigieg and his husband Chastity. But nobody wants to talk about the birth mother. She doesn't exist. According to the mainstream media narrative, Pete and Chastity gave birth to these twins. They were even admitted into the hospital. You all remember the photographs, right? Of the they had the hospital admission bracelets, the whole nine yards. So my recommendation here, folks, is again, if you're white, never buy any rap music, never go to a rap concert because they'll come after you. And number two, if you're straight, don't you dare tell a gay joke ever. They'll come after you. They'll destroy you. I'm just telling you. All right, we got to take a break here. When we come back, straight to the phones, 844-747-8868. This is the Todd Stern Show. All right, there's a report out. Oh, this could be devastating for the DeSantis campaign, which is really not even a campaign yet because he hasn't actually announced he's running for president. But Mediaite is reporting a culinary scandal involving the governor, Governor DeSantis, apparently now being accused of eating chocolate pudding with his fingers. This from the reporting of Mediaite that the governor is lacking social graces. He was on a jetliner. I will read this to you. That DeSantis enjoyed a delicious chocolate pudding dessert by eating it with three of his fingers, according to not one but two sources familiar with the incident. I'm not making this up. So, by the way, I know Trump has already decided on a nickname for DeSantis. They're calling him, what, Tiny D? I think Puddin' Fingers might be the better the better nickname. Let's go to the phones. 844-747-8868. Gary in South Carolina. Hi, Gary. How are you today?
I'm doing good, sir. How about yourself?
I'm doing pretty decent over here. What's on your mind?
Good. I think people should be able to carry their firearms if they have a concealed to carry weapon permit. If they've gone to that trouble to do so, then they should be allowed to carry it on any premises. Unless, you know, something like a government building or something, I can see, understand that part. But I don't think they're forcing restaurants. I don't think it's, I would call it forcing them. But on the other hand, you're giving people who have that constitutional right to that ability to carry their firearm, but they also should put provisions in. If it's a carry to conceal, conceal it. Don't keep it on your holster where it's exposed and it causes alarm and makes other people in the restaurant uncomfortable. You know, it kind of goes both ways. You know, I can see the restaurant's point of view. You're going to make my people uncomfortable. They don't know if this guy's going to finish his dinner and then go berserk, you know, or whatnot. You know, it's just one of those scenarios where they should provide provisions and give both sides, you know, the opportunity to kind of clarify, you know, like being able to carry your concealed weapon because you do have the carry to conceal, and the restaurants on the other hand should allow that, but then still be able to provide a provision, do not expose it.
I don't want to take away rights from the private business owners. You know what I mean, Gary? It's because once you start going down that slope, it's a slippery one, and I hear what you're saying. You've probably seen this before. There's been a mass shooting at a Walmart, and the next day, what happens? Some guy, just to show that, you know, gun rights, goes into the Walmart with an AR-15 strapped to him, and then he gets upset when people say, "What the heck are you doing?" I mean, you got to use some common sense here. You know what? I get what you're saying, and I'm not saying the guy doesn't have a right to do that, but don't be a jerk about it.
Well, right, exactly. Well, at that point, you know, if you're going to alarm people and doing something like carrying an AR-15, that would be to alarm people. You don't need
of to
carry an AR-15.
Yeah, we get what you're doing, yeah.
But, you know, yeah, at that point, he should be stopped and, you know, not allowed in the store. I mean, if you're going to just show off your weapon like that, it causes, you know, people to be upset. And they don't know what this guy's going to do. But if you have a carry to conceal, you conceal it, you hide it, you have it in your pocket. You know, that's fine. You go into the store, and if, you know, somebody comes in there, they've got a problem, you know, a problem with their wife or something. You know, some guy goes lunatic. He thinks, you know, she's a waitress. She's seeing somebody else or something. He comes in there, you know. Then, you know, there's certain instances where somebody with a carry to conceal can stop a lot of people from being killed.
Fair enough. Gary, appreciate that call, and thank you for listening. Let's go to Bill real quick in Memphis, KWAM. I don't even know the name of my own radio station, Bill.
What's up, Todd? You know, I was going to comment on something else that I know you saw, but I'll stay with what the main topic was here. I've owned a business. I've been in the restaurant business for over 30 years, and I've owned a business. And, you know, we complain about all these things that the liberals are pushing on us. And then we're going to, like you said, it's just pure common sense. If a business says, we don't want you to bring your gun in, go to another business if
that's
it. You. It's just pure common sense. Why do you have to argue about this stupid stuff? It makes no sense to me. I mean, just leave your gun at home or go to another place.
That's
they don't want to make a cake for you because they don't believe in what the cake says. Go to another place. And I'll tell you this, I've been in restaurant business for 30 years, repeated again. I will never go to a restaurant and make them make anything for me. If they act like they don't want to make me something, I'm leaving. Because let me tell y'all a little secret. If you're making them make you something they don't want to make, you really don't want to eat what they're serving you.
Oh, gosh. That's
you can still believe what you want to believe, but that's reality.
Bill, we got about 5 seconds here. You want to give your restaurant a shout-out?
No, I don't have it anymore. I used to have one in Midtown a long time ago, but I know how it is. People come in and
right.
I want to act crazy like they have rights for no reason. Just
that's
order
it.
The food, and that's it. Yep. Appreciate it, man.
All right, Bill. God bless you. Folks, great day. Great calls today. We're going to do it all over again tomorrow. By the way, tomorrow, Open Line Friday. You want to talk about reparations, guns, Pete Buttigieg? It's whatever you want to talk about. Get out there and be good, America.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never before seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, deliver the truth, whatever the cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to salemnow.com. Salemnow.com.